Hello, folks. This is Princess. You are listening to the Millennial Mustard Seed Podcast. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share with your friends.
It's tough. We're in a very tough spot. I think that what we're doing right now is of great benefit and virtue because it's an end around between this whole corrupt informational system, media system.
We claim to believe in a God who spoke the universe into existence and literally raised himself from the dead. And yet we're not going to believe that anything else exists in the spirit realm, even though his word tells us that they do.
Their bodies weren't permitted to go to sleep like humans do, and they weren't permitted to go to heaven. So they wander the earth.
You know, I've seen the eyes turn black to unknown tongues being spoken.
These giants were left way up in the highlands. The young braves, the young men would hide up in the trees and wait for one of these 12-footers to come walking down the path, and they would jump on him and kill him, drag him back to the village, and the village would feast on the body.
Freedom!
Then people start to get weapons, they start to get armor, they start to build cities, they start to fortify their cities. Now, God looks down and there's violence everywhere.
The battle, this war that we are at, is not against each other. It's against these principalities and these rulers and these archons in the high places.
It's really worthwhile to read the Bible yourself.
Fear is one of the primary drivers of mind control because we have to take every thought captive and resist fear.
You're going to have a testimony that is a justice case against the kingdom of darkness.
Welcome back to the Millennium Mustard Seed. I am your host, Rod, and thank you for being here with me for another awesome episode. I'm joined by Anita, and we have quite an interesting conversation. We dive into supernatural dreams and visions that she has been having ever since 2020. There was a supernatural experience one of her children had in 2020 that kind of launched the whole family into becoming more sensitive to what God was showing them through the supernatural realm and encounters. This episode is filled with insights and wisdom and fascinating experiences that Anita has had and her children, who are having experiences as well that are gifted and sensitive in the spirit. And these are the kind of episodes that are really important and close to my heart because it's always refreshing to have a deep believer who is not afraid or ashamed to testify on some of the stranger things that they experience relating to dreams and visions. It's kind of uncharted territory for most people, but it flows naturally with Anita. And the whole conversation is just built around building up and sharing this light. One of the portions of this vision or a dream, it might be, that a friend of hers had was every time Anita spoke, that light was pulsating and surging out from her mouth because God was using her to reach the people that only she can reach. So much has happened behind the scenes, but she was on season 4, episode 66. I titled that one, My Supernatural Life and Worship is My Weapon. Just to fill you guys in on how cool God is and how he works behind the scenes when it doesn't always make sense to us or we don't realize what's going on. In a nutshell, what happened is Dr. Laura prophesied over the book. Anita comes on the podcast. Carly hears that episode that encourages her to pray and to reach out to me to see if she can get on the podcast. Carly ends up coming on, and Carly is one of the driving factors in helping me finish the book. As soon as the book arrives, Anita takes it with her to minister to women who have been sexually abused and who have been rescued from human trafficking. That's such a powerful testimony. All of this happened behind the scenes. I didn't find out and connect all these pieces together until recently. And my mind was just kind of blown. I was praising God and just marveling. And it was causing me to wonder, what else are you doing, God, behind the scenes that we just don't get? We don't always need to understand everything, but when we get a glimpse of it, in my opinion, it is super encouraging and just fascinating to see how he webs and weaves all of this together. Quick shout out to bro David and his wife Jalisa. I play a song at the end of this episode that they did together, and it is a banger. Also, if you guys have not left me a 5-star rating and review on your favorite podcast catcher, do that. Helps the algorithm. It helps us find one more person just like me and you. And I think it's about time to get into this episode because I am ready. Are you guys ready? Let's go.
Hi everyone, my name is Anita and I am here with Rod on the Millennial Mustard Seed.
Anita, it is an honor to be back with you for a part two. This is a long time coming.
It's just my honor that you reached out to me a second time. I really love sharing and I really hope that the Lord is able to use me as we get caught up and also just as his word goes forth.
You know, it's the willingness and the humility that qualifies us in so many ways. And it's God who works in and through us to bring his will to come about. And just what we were talking about off air, which we'll fill the audience in, we're kind of going with the flow, allowing the Spirit to just lead this conversation. You were mentioning some really cool stuff going on with your son's school. You were talking about, you know, some feedback from the Words Are Salt book, and then you had shared a dream. So let's just kind of lay that as a quick premises to get into this conversation. Let's recap on all of that.
All right. So my son was accepted for his first semester, for his first year at Jesus Image College in Orlando, Florida. And it's been an adjustment. He's our firstborn and he's just like the heart of our family. Not to say anything about my other sons. They all have they add so much to each one of them and they're so unique. And it's just something about your first son going away that kind of rips your heart out. But we knew that he had such a calling in his life 2 years before I even had heard about Jesus Image. He had a word spoken over him and they said Jesus Image. And I didn't even know what that was. But then as I heard a preaching from Michael Koulianos, and it pulled me in so much. It was in 2020 that the Lord was already opening my eyes to so much more and showing me who I was in the Spirit. And I think that we kind of don't realize who we are until we have this awakening. And it was a pretty harsh awakening. It was just full speed since 2020. But as we launched him out, that the years from 2020 to now, even the Lord has just been pouring out prophecy, but also teaching us how to walk in humility with what we're learning and what we're seeing. And it's an honor to even have any kind of dream, vision, or, you know, word from the Lord, because it just shows that he trusts us. And so it's like, well, God, thank you because you trust me with this. And even though I don't understand, and, you know, I don't ever want to speak a word over somebody and that it comes from me. And then he's just purifying us as a family over the years. And so it's been really good experience to, you know, FaceTime our son and just find out what God is doing in him. And he's such a man of God and he's so young. My other son, my 17-year-old that's home, we kind of been on this road to where the Lord is just purifying us. And then we give that to the rest of my two younger boys and then to my husband. And my husband's not a stranger to prophetic things. I never thought that it was something that the Lord was going to give me. He's the one that gets the words. He's the one that gets the dreams. And then when it started happening to me in 2020, I was like, God was showing me, this is who you are. You know, this is who you've always been. You just didn't know that some of the things you did, those were things that were in you. But I do feel like he had me hidden even from myself, from my own self, if that makes sense. And I do think it was for my protection. And so there's a lot of times in your childhood, you'll see things, experience things, but you don't really understand or know. And I really do believe that it's because he gives us these different stages and different seasons, but he knows what we can handle. And he knows when we're really like walking with him, he really does protect us from things that could harm us so badly in the future. But there are things that we do pass through, because without going through those things, we would not be prepared for what he has for our future. And so just walking through that, knowing that the Lord has his hand on my family and on our kids, there's just so much. But I just, even just encouraging others to, if there's things that you're holding on to, that the Lord is saying to let it go, it's really for your benefit. And so it was really hard to let my son go. I'm like, of all the schools, you have to go all the way on the other side, you know? But I just, yeah. I know that that's what he needed, not yeah. just for his, you know, his calling, but also to grow and become a man, and the man of God that he is meant to be. And so when he shares things with me, I'm all ears. Even when my youngest comes up to me and he shares things, I really believe that we can learn from anybody, that we should never be above ourselves when a child comes and gives us a word, or a child comes and wants to give us wisdom. And so I live in that daily. I mean, there is, as a mother, I do have, I mean, there's where, okay, you're being disrespectful, or, you know, you're going over the crossing the line, but I always make it open to where it's not like, oh, I said so because I said so. No, if there's something I need to say, I'll explain it, but then I'll also let them tell me how they feel about it. And I think just at a young age, keeping them close like that to me has flourished into such a beautiful relationship with both of my sons. And so even though my oldest is far, it's been really nice to, he'll send us voice memos, he'll FaceTime us, and just, it's incredible what God is doing and how he is really establishing him in the Word and in the Lord. And it's so beautiful to watch, because he, in 2021, he really, God had prepared him even to go to school. So it wasn't like where he's experiencing change there. God was already preparing him here. And so it's just, but like I said, it's not easy, but it really is part of that letting go and really letting God, trusting God that he has the best for our kids, especially when they go off to college.
Just at a prayer meet this past weekend. So when we get together as a body, we have people coming from different states, from New York, from Virginia, all over PA. And it's like the book of Acts. We don't do any teaching. There's no reading from the Bible. We get together and we humble ourselves and we pray. And during this, we have some soft music on in the background. And my son, Adam, is literally doing interpretive dance
wow.
in the middle of this yeah. prayer. And we're marveling and just praising God, because right away, it also reminded me of your part one that did so much behind the scenes. And, you know, I labeled that episode, you know, worship is my weapon. You know, and it's like, yeah. I'm reflecting a little bit, remembering, you know, some climactical points from the first time you were on air with me, and, you know, how you grew up, everything that you went through. And now to see you as a mother releasing your eldest, your firstborn, into the hands of the Lord, trusting that God has a plan for his life. I can only imagine if this reaches 1 or 100 women or fathers out there who are in a similar situation. We are doing the right thing here. So just beautiful to hear, you know, your journey and heart on what's been going on recently with your eldest boy, literally a future kingdom shaker and kingdom builder. So
he said his favorite thing is not just the worship part, but going out to evangelize on the streets. And he says he's seen God heal like instantly. And he's this is amazing. But he said it was just him and his friend after they started seeing like the fruit of it, then they had more people go out with them. So he plays keys. He plays a lot of instruments, but he tried out for the worship team. He's like, Mom, I got in. He doesn't know yet for what, if it's for voice or for the guitar. But I'm like, it's just beautiful to see that, because it's something that he's wanted to do, but he didn't. He went in so humbly, and really, like, God prepares us, because when we take on a platform in ministry, we have to have that solid foundation, because then, you know, just going into worship, we were never meant for worship. We're meant to actually usher in the presence of the Lord. And the way that you build an altar what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to build an altar. And then when that altar is built, that's when the Spirit comes in. That's when Jesus can come and sit on his throne. We have to have that oil. We have to have that intimacy. And actually, it's not for the people. We're not there for the people because we can't give people anything. We can give our oil, pour our oil of worship. And the oil is our time, right? What we give our attention to. And it's like that intimacy in the secret place is what produces that fragrance. The suffering that we go through produces the fragrance of our worship through our obedience. And that's a huge thing. And I don't think it's talked about very much. Just through our obedience, that is worship to the Lord. And that's a fragrance. And so I had one of my mentors tell me, the things that I walk through, the suffering, everything, that all the things that I walk through, it's like she said she saw this vase and there was a top covering the oil that was in the vase. But there's going to come a time where he lifts up the cork that's holding in the fragrance of that oil, and it's going to pour out, and the fragrance, it will release in its time. If you think about what you walk through, the suffering, the tears, the labor, and when you're doing it unto the Lord, and in the times where we don't understand what he's doing, it's like he's holding all that in a jar. He's saving all of that in our obedience, you know, as we worship him, not just through music, but through everything else. He holds that and it becomes a beautiful fragrance. And in his time, he releases that. It's really a wonder in how all of these things work. And
you had shared this heartwarming prophetic thing that was spoken to you from a mentor about a dream that they had. Now, this person in particular didn't know that you were coming back on the podcast, but can you just kind of take it from there and tell us about this? Was it a dream or a vision?
She said that she had a dream that I was on this podcast, the Millennium Mustard Seed, and that I was sharing. And then all of a sudden, as I was speaking on just the visions and the obedience to the Lord, that in things that I've walked through. And all of a sudden she saw just these bursts, bright, vibrant color, just color. And as I continued to speak, they were just flashing different colors everywhere. And it looked like a rainbow. The more I spoke, the more the colors got more vibrant, and there were just sporadic bursts all over the place. And then towards the end of the dream, it was just a really big black, like just rays of color just blasting, and it was almost blinding to the eyes. She actually just today told me this dream, because she told me about it after I had said, hey, I'm going to be, you know, doing a part two. Would you pray for me? And she said, yes. And then she says, I had a dream about you a few weeks ago before you told me that you were going to be on for a part two. So it's pretty amazing. And so I was sharing with my son, and I told him, I said, would you pray for me? I'm going to do a part two. And I just want it to be all for the Lord. And I want every single word that I speak to be for the Lord. And then I shared the dream that my friend had about me with him. And he says, Mom, he's like, those bursts, the colors, he's like, that's the glory. So when you speak, it is the Lord. You're speaking words of his glory in the spirit. That's what's happening. His glory is coming out through the words that you speak. And so it was just this beautiful confirmation.
And, you know, it reminds me, Dr. Robert talked about the power of our voice when we're fulfilling our scroll, this heavenly scroll that's written about us. And the more that the Father is trusting us because, you know, we're walking these things out, we're suffering in certain ways, and we're being obedient and we're following the calling. Many are called, few are chosen, right? So there's like this process. And the closer we get, the more of the Father's voice comes through us. You know, Carly's been on the show. Carly Tebbs and her husband Prince was on a couple episodes back, but it was your part one that Carly testified to me, Anita, that caused her to pray and then end up reaching out to me. Now, behind the scenes, most people don't actually know, but Carly helped me with spelling in the book. Her and her husband have been just unparalleled in just continual support and prayer and just encouragement through some really crazy stuff. You know, I lost my job about 4 or 5 months ago, not to share too many details on air, but I've been going through some stuff. People don't always understand the cost of walking in humility, getting refined by the fire, going through this fire in order to have his fire burning down inside of us and for that to pour out. So I just wanted you to know that your obedience, your willingness, your humility for part one, that opened a whole ripple effect. Wow. Of getting me connected with ministries and prayer warriors, prayer teams, and halfway across the country. So praise God for that. Mm-hmm. Humbling, very humbling.
Wow, that's beautiful. And it's just through our obedience that he works through that. And it's like, there's even things that I'm like, oh, we're so focused on, I just want to obey you, God. I can't believe I'm doing this, or I don't want to do this anymore, or help me through this struggle that I'm having. I just want obedience. But then it's like, once you realize that, it's just surrendering. That's all it is. It's not like, oh, I got to try so hard. I got to be perfect. And just kind of like putting shame on your own self. It's actually just laying it down at his feet and saying, God, I trust you. The solution is intimacy. Just that time alone with the Lord, just pouring out to him through our groaning and, you know, just sometimes the ugly cries that you can't even get words out, just like those sounds of just laying it down and just bringing all of that to the feet of Jesus. And really that's how we overcome, because then we are no longer fighting for ourselves and we're actually giving it over to Jesus, because he's already has victory. So then the enemy, he can't fight us anymore, because we're not fighting in our own strength. We're actually saying, no, God is fighting my battle and he already has the victory and you tremble before him. So you can't come at me, because he's my defender, because I'm not fighting my own battles anymore. I laid that down at the feet of Jesus. So now you aren't my enemy anymore. You're God's enemy and he's already defeated you. And so when you put it into perspective like that, it's like, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to strive. You can just go and rest in the arms of the Father. You can just go and rest in that place of hiddenness. And so I did want to talk a little bit. There's so much going on with people calling other people out and church hurt and people leaving the church and leaving the body. And it's like, I get that. I mean, I grew up, my parents were leaders in the church and I've seen all the things. I mean, all the things. I could blame the church for my dad leaving, because he had nobody. Like, he would always fight and be there for other people through their stuff. But then when it came to him, he was deserted. He just was lost. And I could blame the church for that. But people are broken and people a lot of times don't understand. And it's like, I chose not to have that offense, not to carry that on my shoulders, because people are broken. And sometimes you can do things that are hurtful to others and not even realize it. And so I tread lightly because talking about that, only because I don't know how many times I've hurt somebody or said something and not meant it that way, or in my ignorance, you know, did something that really wounded someone else. And so I'm always asking God to show me, or Holy Spirit, to make me really sensitive to those things so that I don't use my words to harm the body. And I've heard you say that before, that we're not meant to harm the bride. We don't want that. We're not the voice of the accuser. We should never stand on the line of bringing shame. That's one of the things that I've been walking through too, because there's a lot of millennials that are going through church hurt. And there is a line. There is a point. If you're experiencing spiritual abuse or any kind of abuse, there is definitely where you have to sometimes walk away. But I do believe that God leads us in that, and that he does bring us people that can mentor us into that and brings us really close with people that we can trust. But really, I heard this recently, where if you need a vent to somebody, go to the feet of Jesus and tell him everything, because he knows, and then you can get it out and then you can move on with, because the enemy wants to divide us. The enemy wants us to have misunderstandings and hurt each other. And the biggest thing you can do for church hurt immunity is Jesus. That is the immunity, because we no longer have our identity, or it's not about what we can do, but it's about what he can do and what he gave us, the best example. people didn't even know that Judas was the one that would betray him, because he did the same thing. He treated him just as much as with much love as he did with all the other disciples, but he knew that he was the one that would betray him, and yet he still loved him.
Wow, it's powerful. You know, an open rebuke is better than a hidden love. I have a lot of love for the bride, and I've been learning and trying to have the humility and connect this together, you know, using language to get other people to open their eyes. That, and I have been rough in the past on this topic, Anita, where I was angry at churches on every single corner in my local cities all across the country. But yet, you know, there's no positioning to actually help God's people. It's like a selective club. And I kind of was being a little bit rough about it. And I got a rebuke from a brother in Christ.
Yeah.
You know, my brother Klaus, he says to me, it would be better to actually be the example of what's right instead of talking about what you see that's wrong. And I'm going, bro, that's what I live by. Like, but I didn't see it. I was just in this place of frustration. I'm going, they're poisoning our food. They're poisoning our culture. All this different stuff. The churches are taking in tithes. That, like, if you go to one church service at certain places, you'll say, oh, they have this huge budgets, right? Oh, we got this much money, but there's no actual land for us to grow our food on. There's no actual place where we can have peace and rest, right? Yeah. It's like every man for himself. There's no unity.
Yeah.
And I was disturbed by that. But when Klaus rebuked me, he did it in love, and he did it in a way that I already knew I agreed with him because of the spirit that's in me.
Wow.
And I'm like, man, we have to show by example. And just do it and be what God is calling us to be. And other churches will follow suit. That's what we believe is going to happen. But the humility is like this. It's a funny thing because it's not wrong what I was saying. It's just about how I was delivering it. And I'm like, man, so just because we have a revelation on something doesn't mean that we can just get away with having whatever spirit on us we want, a spirit of anger about it or frustration. No, we have to bring everything, like you said, Anita, to the feet of Jesus and rest in him. Because if it's God's will, it's God's bill. I've heard Marcus say that before, right? You know, and I've been saying stuff lately, like if God is pleased with it, God will breathe on it and grow it.
Yeah,
and so all of this is making sense in that way. But I felt compelled to share that. That's to make myself vulnerable and show some humility, because that literally just happened the other week.
That's really good. And I think that's such a key vulnerability. And I have a story about that. But before I share that, I want to go back to just what we're talking about, the humility and how to stay above that, the immunity for church hurt. And my son, actually, he was talking about how Saul threw the spear at David. And the only way to dodge that spear of offense is to go low. That's the only way. And so we don't carry armor on our back, right? So the only way that we can dodge the arrows that are coming for us through our, you know, to the back where we can't see, is really to go low. Because you go low and you dodge all of it. It's all, it can't touch you. And that's also the place of rest and hiddenness. And so I want to read, it's 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 10 and 11. And this is the New King James Version. It says, "And it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the house. So David played music with his hand, as at the other times. But there was a spear in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the spear, for he said, 'I will pin David to the wall.' But David escaped his presence twice." And so, I mean, the perfect example of humility when dealing with people that have more authority than you do is really to go low. There have been times where the Lord, like, literally words came out of my mouth, not really in my defense, but I felt the Holy Spirit on it, because it was this like almost righteous anger. And although it may not in that moment people recognized it, I knew what it was in my belly, and I spoke it, and I don't regret it. I didn't even feel any shame about it. And those are the times where I know that God has used me to stand up and speak and say something. But right now, the season that he has me in is he wants me to go even lower than I've gone before. And because that's where I'm going to stay away from the spears, you know, the arrows of the enemy. Because if I see somebody hurting somebody else, I want to speak justice over that. And I want to defend, especially if it's something coming against any youth that I know, like from church or in the community, like I will fight tooth and nail for them, for their protection. But, and there are times where God has used me in that way, but what he's wanting me to do in this season is to even go lower. And so there's some big things that I actually felt the Holy Spirit tell me to let go of. And it's kind of like, but God, that's like my baby. You know, you gave me this vision, you gave me this dream, and now you want me to just let it go and let somebody else put their name on it, and maybe, and then they're going to change the vision that you gave me for it. And it was kind of this conversation that I was having, like a parent when you're explaining, when they're saying it's time to let this go because I have something else for you, I have something new for you. But it was kind of like that conversation of, but I don't understand, like, why this is not even finished. It's not even a finished project, but you want me to let it go. I was like hurt by it. But then the more that I prayed about it, I understand it's for somebody else to pick up. It's for me to start it. And yeah, maybe it's a different vision, but I don't know what God's going to do with it. I also don't want to stay in something that he hasn't ordained for me to stay in. It's easy to be comfortable with the things that I'm gifted in, but it takes courage and strength to move on to things that I'm uncertain of. That's kind of where I've been at. And so when my son was speaking to me today about this, and it was just, it's perfect because I made that decision and I know it's the right decision. I know the enemy will come and try to throw these arrows of hurt and offense and wanting me to like stand up for myself when the Lord is telling me, no, I'm your protector. You just go low. And so it's been wild.
I concur. We're all going through it right now.
But
I love hearing this.
And it's beautiful, though, because
it is. We
can do it as a body, right?
Yes,
so we can all
exactly.
Jump on it and say, we can jump on this and say, yes, this is the season. And that's the beauty of being united, even in different areas of, you know, of the world, even, because we're his bride and he's refining us. So we all have different positions. We have different roles that we have to play in order for his will to be done on the earth. And so the more we understand that, the more that all of the other petty stuff just falls to the wayside. And it's what I teach the youth. It's what I teach them, because they're going to have such a big part to play. And I'm just honored that God would trust me with his children, that he would trust me to go in front of it, to be on the front lines of the movement that he's doing. And I'm like, it's hard sometimes because I get so many ideas all the time and I'm like, God, I don't have enough space. Like, what do you want me to do with this? And so I just like write it all down. And I'm like, I know the time will come. Like, I love doing theater and doing it for the Lord, and through dramatic, through dance, through anything creative and artistic. The one thing that I've also learned just through over the years is that you have to find that thing that you're not necessarily that you're good at, or your gifts, because that can actually go away. But the thing that you, what are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? Because that's what's going to drive you. What is your drive? Because those are the things that will last. And when you find that, that's where, okay, yeah, now I know what my destiny is. Like, I know for a fact that I'm a pioneer, that God gives me these wild ideas for a reason. But it's not necessarily that I'm going to always do it. It's just he's gracing me for that season, really, because I'm going to give it away. Because it's for me to start and for somebody else to come in and pick it up and keep running with it. There's been so many times where I had opportunities, but I really felt like the Lord was saying, give that away. I can fully recognize when youth come and they have the next thing and they have the new wine and the wineskin. And all I want to do is step aside and say go, and then help equip them to face the things that I've already faced that they don't know yet. And so I believe that that's what drives me. That's my passion, not necessarily always singing, always being the lead of something, but really just being able to say, I will do what I can, and everything I learned, I'll give you, and I'll give it with my hands open. Like, I'm not scared that I won't get the credit or that I won't be in the spotlight, because that's not my passion. My passion is Jesus and the obedience to him.
You know what's so deep and beautiful and convicting about what you're saying? Jesus tells us the greatest among you is the servant. And the people who want power, or they want position or authority, or they want to be famous, or they want to buy, you know, their way into success, for, or bully their way into a position, those people have no idea what it's like to go low.
Yeah.
And to make themselves a servant. And I'm just sitting here, I don't want to get on the pedestal again. I want you to keep talking, but just reflecting, there's so many times where I've went low just because of the tugging, and other times where I knew, you know what, God, it's wiser not to fight this battle and to honor your name, to turn the other cheek, to give a fresh piece of skin that hasn't been hit yet and offer that back up, like actually lower my position and lower who I am. And man, people will do some funny things. I see some funny stuff go on. I'm telling you, I talk with people behind the scenes and different ministries and this and that. And I hear stuff. And sometimes I'm just like, I'm sorry, I can't, I got to go. But yeah, okay. Funny stuff happens, but you can never go wrong with loving.
Yeah.
That's like the secret weapon the enemy never sees coming.
You said something there about how, you know, going low, and that there's also this middle area that God wants us to be in, where we can recognize when it's time to step aside, and then when it's time for us to actually take that platform and use it for his glory. So
praise God,
you know, so there will be times he will say, you're going to take that and you're going to give me the glory for it. And I trust you with it. A lot of people that know me from like growing up, even high school, like, I thought that I was going to, I think we talked about this before, but I thought that I was going to do all these like big things and like, you know, be a recording like Christian artist and like do all this stuff. And it's like, I had a choice that I made before I got married, and I could have went down that road, but I really felt the Lord call me to Idaho and to the man that I'm married to now. So, I mean, I did like some demo work, but I also was involved with Spanish worship, and I had some open roads that I could have gone through that way, but I really felt like the Lord said no. And I was just so drawn to my husband in Idaho. It's crazy that I'm here, but you know what? I don't want the glam and the glory. I don't want that. Like, I want to be in his will, and I want to push other people to be what they're passionate about, but give it to the Lord. I love so many different creative ways of expression through worship. And one of my mentors told me, she's like, Anita, don't ever try to put that basket over the light that God has given you, over the creativity that he's given you, because people like are afraid of it, or because people don't understand it, because it's not for them. It's for the Lord. And she says he sees it as a kiss, all of the things, like you're giving it back to him in a kiss. I want to be in the feast of the wedding. I want to be in the inner courts. I don't want to be on the outer courts. Not preaching, but I don't want to minister to people on the outer courts. I want to be in the wedding supper. You know, I want to be in the intimacy of the Lord. That's where I want to be, and I always want to build that altar wherever it is. For worship leaders, it's so important to remember that. Youth worship team is at my local church is who I mentor, and that's what I tell them. I said, well, you don't ever want to be caught, you know, outside of the wedding supper. We don't worship for the people. We do what's pleasing to the Lord, because then we want him to come to sit on the throne of worship that we give him. I always keep going back to worship, but I did want to touch on the first encounter as a family that included all of our kids in 2020, that kind of started this domino effect of what we've been experiencing. If there's time for that, I'd like to share that quickly. It was in the year 2020 when all the stuff with the masks and the mandates and everything, and we had already planned a family trip. And so we went to Oregon and we got this Airbnb. It was like really cool because it was kind of in the farm area. And I automatically felt that it was like an open space spiritually. The last night that we were staying there, my oldest son, he pulled out his guitar and he did some worship, and we just worshiped the Lord there in the living room. My oldest and my 17-year-old were staying in the room downstairs. And then my other two boys were upstairs in one room, and then my husband and I in another. Well, I always kind of have my phone silenced because I want to sleep. And all of a sudden, I just woke up. It was about 2 in the morning. I just felt I just woke up and I felt like I just picked up my phone and I saw like 6 missed calls from my 17-year-old. And I was like, what is going on? And then like all these messages like, Mom, hurry, come downstairs. Tell Dad to come downstairs. You have to see what's going on with his brother. And so I wake my husband up and he's like, oh my gosh. So he runs downstairs and I'm upstairs. I just went to go check on the other boys. And at this point, we don't know what's going on or what happened. We're just like frantic. And so I'm putting on my slippers, getting ready to walk down the stairs to the basement area. And my hands all the way down to my elbow feel like they're on fire. But it's not painful. It's just they got very hot and tingly. And I was like, oh my gosh, like what's going on? My first thought was what's happening downstairs and what is like, what's going on with my hands? So I go downstairs. It turns out that he had an encounter and he saw something. So he had worship music on and he was just like praying, kind of like in his bed, just praying. And all of a sudden he heard God tell him, get on your knees and worship me on your knees. So he did. He was on his bed, kneeling on his bed and just like worshiping the Lord. And all of a sudden he saw this black image on the corner of the ceiling, just staring at him. And he felt a huge pressure coming against his chest. And he heard the voice of the Lord say, just keep your focus on me and keep worshiping me. And eventually, as it went by, like the image disappeared. And so he was just shook by it because that was the very first time that he had ever experienced anything like that where he could actually see. And so the day after this happened, the encounter happened, we were, you know, getting ready to leave. And all of a sudden, my oldest, who had just had the encounter the night before, broke out in hives. It was just this weird hives all over his, just everywhere on his, especially on his arms and his neck. I'm thinking, okay, what did he eat? Like what happened? And all of a sudden I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, go lay hands on him. And so I laid hands on him and I prayed for healing and he was healed. And we were just like amazed. And when we came back from our vacation, I was telling my close friend about it. And she told me, she's like, Anita, that what you felt, that fire, that was the anointing to heal. And so God gave you that because he knew what was going to happen, what the enemy was going to throw at you. And so I was like, whoa, but it's just, that actually was the very first kind of encounter experience that we had as a family that really started. Everything else came so quickly after that. I mean, there's so many dreams, encounters, and things that the Lord has done with us. Another dream that actually goes along with kind of what I was talking about earlier about giving away something that God has given me vision for. So I had a dream about, I was having a baby. This baby was a boy. I felt like the birth pains of it. When the baby came out, he was just really loud and crying and, I mean, very joyful, but just like very loud and like kind of like a fighter is kind of what it, but there was a lot of pain in the delivery of that baby. Then I had 8 more babies and they were all girls and they all came out very quick, no pain. And they were just like wrapped, swaddled right away. And they were just very peaceful. And there was no work. I had to do no work. They just came quickly and it was 8 of them. And so I saw my husband pacing the floor and he was telling the nurse, he's like, I don't know what we're gonna do to take care of these babies. I don't know. He's like, there's too many. And he was just pacing the floor, very concerned. And the nurse was so calm and she said, it's okay. God is gonna provide. You don't have to do anything. And he's going to bring you a bus to like how to carry. I think I can't remember if she said a van or a bus, but he's going to provide everything for these babies and your family. So that was pretty wild. That was also like back in, that was 2021, I believe that I got that one. I really believe that that first baby was just the worship part of it. And because that was fierce. I mean, the things that I faced to pave the way for freedom in that area, like even in my local church, for freedom to kneel down while you're praying, like through worship. And everybody might not understand, but I know that, you know, just in that obedience. And so just paving the way for that. I'm sorry, I cannot remember if I shared last time about the thing that happened in my church where I ran the room in the middle of service?
Yeah, I think it was you were feeling the pressure, like the religious spirit being like, no, that's out of order, but you put the microphone down.
Yeah. Well, you know what's crazy?
That's amazing. Yeah, that's good.
I know a girl that she actually, God brought her, you know, as a friend. He says, you know, this is someone I want you to be friends with. Well, I started talking to her and she's like, Anita, do you remember that one time you ran the room? And I was like, yeah. She's like, that was for me. And she's like, every time that you lead worship, and I always just like love like what God is doing. She said, but that one time that you ran the room and you were encouraging the congregation to jump or just like move, she said that she jumped and she just felt the weight of everything that she was going through just fall and that freedom. And so she's like, I want to tell you that that matters. Like those things that you do in obedience, they matter and they make a difference. So I was like, that's really cool to hear those kind of stories.
For a lot of us, that's more real and alive than sitting through 100 dry sermons.
Right. Yeah.
One experience like that, it's something that I think about and ponder quite often about. We always remember the emotion, but we don't always remember the words, right?
Yeah.
But your dreams are amazingly cool because you're so spiritual and you sharing them. I just like, I'm an empath too. So I like, I feel and like see like a little mini movie clip in my head of like what you're talking about. I'm like, this is powerful. These are these scenarios that I find myself in where people keep reaching out and saying, hey, these are these end time stories of encouragement. This is this remnant voice awakening up other people, because the religious spirits out there, they don't want you asking questions. They don't want you running the church. They don't want you setting the captives free. If they were actually trying to do that, well, let's just say it wouldn't be governed the way that it is. And the spirit is coming in and doing a new thing and using the most unlikely people to confound the wise.
Yes, I really
think that. Oh, there's so much power to that. There's so much power. End times voices. You know, we're in this unique season right now where each testimony, all the beams of light that are coming out as we grow closer to the Father and He speaks and moves through us and our voices align, it's setting more captives free. It's giving people a license to go there, to not be afraid to talk about their encounters or their dreams or visions, because it's been silent for too long. It reminds me of the scripture. Before I give the mic back to you, it says, make a loud noise unto the Lord. And I'm thinking, man, when we're dancing and celebrating, we make a loud noise.
Yes.
And it's not a show. You know, it's like we do this for Him. There's breaking chains of this claustrophobic feeling of like, oh, well, nobody else is doing it. Well, be the first one to go out there and blaze the trail. Be a pioneer. Even if you're misunderstood, just be the pioneer. Because if you do it for God and He's pleased with it, He will grow it.
Amen. That is so.
So Anita, I want to ask you about Beautiful Pieces ministry and what you got yourself into. God's got you on these secret missions out there. So just take the mic and just fill us in. What happened?
Yeah. Okay. So last year, I had the privilege of meeting Sarah and Shauna from Beautiful Pieces, and her story. I mean, they both have these amazing stories, and I don't want to tell their stories because I think they would tell it better. You can find Beautiful Pieces on Facebook, and Sarah does share what the Lord has done for her, but it's basically they've held hands in the community and they've been able to go and give things to women that are coming out of human trafficking or just really bad situations with abuse. And so they were able to reach these women through safe houses, and they in the community here in Idaho, I know that we are probably one of the highest in the U.S. for human trafficking. It's really bad. I mean, Idaho is a great place to raise a family, but there's also danger in some of those things because they go unnoticed. And so what God has placed in Sarah's hands is this ministry where she goes, it's periodically throughout the year, but there's this one specific thing that she does for Valentine's Day. She has two events, one the day before Valentine's Day and one on Valentine's Day. And what they do is they go and they take the word, and they also they bring music, and they just shower these women with a night of crafting, like doing a craft. Like this year they did tie-dye shirts, and they just take the word of the Lord to them, but in such a beautiful way where it's so gentle. And Tuesday night, she was preparing me. She's, because the first night is always the ones that are actually really vulnerable. And so it's a very, they're very sensitive to words and phrases. And when Sarah, when I got to meet Sarah last year, she told me, you know, God led me to you. And she, through a mutual friend who's a Christian rapper, said, oh, I know this girl and she does music and she would be a good fit. And because I am the way that I am, I just felt the Lord say not to go in alone. So I actually called two other singers that I know and musicians. And we did a very intimate worship set where it was more encouragement, but also worship to the Lord. So I'm very careful just in the wording and those things, but it was beautiful because it was just so intimate. And then we went to the women's and children's homeless shelter. That's the, on Valentine's Day, we did a shorter set. And then they let me bring my sons last year. Well, this year she called me and I was like, yeah, that's great. I want to do it. And it just turned out that I couldn't find, of all the people that I know, I could not find any women that played instruments that were available for the Tuesday night one. So I was like, okay, I don't really play an instrument, but I can get by on the keys with like basic chords and really just right-handed playing with just a tiny bit of the left hand. I was like, I don't think I can do this. And I really seriously thought about just not doing it this year, but I really felt the Holy Spirit say, no, like go sit down and practice. And I did. And when I was practicing at home, it just came together. And my 17-year-old was like, Mom, you can just use this software and it actually will enhance what you're doing on the keyboard. And I was like, okay, so it sounded great at home. It was as hard as I thought. Well, I get there and I just feel so much pressure like immediately Tuesday night. And I'm like, okay, did I make the right decision or am I going to get up there and just like absolutely make a fool of myself? I was talking to the director of the safe house, and she was telling me that they had just picked up one of the girls from a city here close by where I live to like the same day. And they brought her to this event. And she was telling me how vulnerable these women were on the way to the event. They all got in a van and some of them were already like fighting anxiety from, because these women, the things that they go through are just unimaginable and everything is a trigger to them. Even the neighborhood that the church was in was a trigger. But she said that when they opened the doors and walked in, they felt an immediate peace. And I was like, praise God. She said some of them even were abused in church. And so church in itself is a trigger. But she said that she was so thankful that when they walked into the place where we had the event, they just felt a peace come over them. And to be able to be a part of that was just incredible. Going back to my piano skills, I was so nervous because I didn't know where some of the things needed to be plugged into and I couldn't hear the keys and there was some audio problems. And I was like, oh my gosh, God, what did I do? What did I say yes to? I'm reading the words and using this auto scroll feature on guitar tabs. And right as I started the song, I didn't do my timing correctly. And the auto scroll was a little bit, I mean, not a little bit, but quite a bit behind what I was playing. So I was like holding notes a little bit longer. I just felt so embarrassed, but actually I missed a part. Let me rewind. So before I started playing, I just felt, you know, these women go through so much, they see so much fakeness and they see so many people just putting up walls. So I was like, I'm going to go and be vulnerable. And so I told them, I said, playing the keyboard is not a skill that I have perfected. It's like, I'm very like entry level. And they were just all laughing. And so I'm like, yes, that broke the ice. And then I told them, I said, but you know, sometimes God really puts you in situations where you just have to do it. And you have to be brave and you have to just say, I can do the things that God has asked me to do, even if I look like a fool, because there's a purpose in that. And so I shared that. And then I really like messed up the first song, like really bad. A lot of it had to do with auto scroll, but I was really nervous too. Right after I did the first song, there was a little bit of a break. And so the pastor's wife, she comes up to me and she's like, hey, she's like, I can play the next song for you. She's like, I play piano. And I was like, thank you. And so the night continued and she played the second song and I was like, oh, this is good. And then there was some testimonies that came out later on about how they really appreciated like the vulnerability and just, and so I'm like, if I have to be a fool, if I have to look like a fool in order for God's purpose to be fulfilled, then I'll do it. It had been such a really like rushed, it was like probably the busiest week ever. I had saw you advertising your book, The Words Are Salt. I ordered it and I remember just telling you about what the event and just to keep it in prayer. And you told me to check out the poem on bodies, which I had heard that before because you read it one time live on air and I loved it. And so I actually read it and I was like, this is perfect, because I had just got the book the Tuesday, that same day of the event. And I shared it with the women and they were just in tears. And they're like, who wrote this? Where did you get this? And I just shared a little bit about the ministry that God has put in your hands. And I had met, she's actually a social worker for the state. And she was reading that. And she's like, wow, she's like, I love this. And I thought that I was going to read that poem. But I felt the Holy Spirit's like, tell her to read it. And so her name's Jasmine. And so she read it. And she was kind of, I kind of put her on the spot. And I'm like, you don't have to. It's just, I know that it resonated with you. And I feel like that's something that you should share with the women. And so she did. She got up there and she said she was nervous, but she appreciated that I gave her the space to do that, even though it was last minute. So I think it's incredible to see how God knits everything together. And it's like, I don't really believe that there's, oh, that was a coincidence. I don't. I believe that it's something that God really stitches together to just make this beautiful piece. And that's also part of the ministry, Beautiful Pieces, just the knitting together of what God does. And he takes broken things and puts them together. But each piece is so beautiful in it, on its own, but together it becomes this beautiful picture.
The messy masterpiece. The ripple effect of what God is doing. And you said how God is fitting stuff together.
Yeah, he is.
And it's just so uplifting to hear the anointing you have on you, Anita, as you share your dreams and your heart, you know, from sharing about your son all the way to dreams and visions, and then sharing about how God is using you in these secret places, your heart for the young ones, teaching kids. We need to be magnifying voices like yours in this day and age, more men and women who are doing what you're doing. Because it brings hope, it challenges the narrative of fear-mongering, and it exposes that the darkness plays the same hand over and over again. But those who follow the Lord will do great exploits.
There is one thing of encouragement I would like to say. It's actually a vision that one of my youth kids, he graduated it. A few years ago, and he's gone on missions, and he's just this crazy, wild pioneer, and I love it. And he told me one time, he says, I saw you, and you were like, barely had your head above water, and you were like, just in distress. But God showed me the other side of the water. And from behind the scenes, you were actually in a boat, and you were pulling up youth, you were saving them from the storm, you were pulling them out of the water and saving them. When he gave me that, what he saw, I was going through just some really, really tough warfare. And like, we might feel that we're drowning and that we're just have our head above water, but you don't know how God is using you on the other side, what the other view looks like. You just see maybe your mess and where you're in, but you don't see the other side and how God is using you. I would say, whatever you're going through, ask for God's perspective. Say, God, show me how you see me. Show me how you see me in the spirit. And laying down the shame, just not listening to the voice of the accuser, and just knowing who we are to the Lord and who we are in the Spirit.
We left the audience with a cliffhanger on your part one.
Yes.
And we need to finish that up.
Okay, so the dream that I had, that was a Tuesday night. And so Wednesday night, we're at church. All of a sudden, my 17-year-old son comes up and he's like, "Mom, I have to tell you what just happened." He's like, "I was in the hallway talking with friends." He's like, Giovanni turns around because he hears a conversation with this man that was kind of strange with one of our youth kids. And the youth kid was about, I believe he's 13 years old. And the conversation was a little odd. So he's like, "Hi, you know, I'm a youth leader. My name's Giovanni." And he's like, "I think it's very inappropriate that you're asking for a 13-year-old boy's phone number. That's something that we don't do here." He says, "Well, I'm asking him for his phone number because I need a mentor." And then my son replies, "This is inappropriate. And if you need a mentor, I can direct you to someone that can do that for you." And so the man got extremely angry and he's like, "Are you calling me a pedophile?" My other son, who's much taller, even though he's younger, hears the commotion and he comes over and he says, "What's going on here?" And the guy puffs up his chest and gets really close to my son. And he's like, "What?" And he puts his hands up and my son's like, "You need to leave. You need to leave us. You need to leave this boy." The security guard kind of sees, you know, what's going on. And he kind of intervenes and talks to the guy, you know, and so that was it. And so my son was telling me, kind of recounting the story to me. And he's like, "Mom, it's that guy over there with the hat, with the camo hat." I didn't think anything of it. And so I looked and I was really mad, honestly, because I was like, what the heck is going on? This is church. This is also a place where anybody can come because it's church. And so I was just looking at him. He turned around and we lock eyes. And immediately I can see that he's got lots of things on him. I felt a spirit of intimidation. I felt anger, rage, and murder. He starts walking. And as he's walking closer, he stands right in front of me. And he's just staring at me and he says nothing. And so as he's staring at me, all right up in my face, saying nothing, I see one of our security guards and I call his name the same amount of times that I called my husband's name in the dream. And I literally felt like I felt like dizzy. I felt like there's something going on here in the spirit. Like, and I'm like, "God, what do I do?" Like, I couldn't even speak. And so the man that was in front of me, he says, he's like, "You shouldn't judge because you're in church and I'm not a pedophile," or and this and that. I was frozen and all I could think of was I was yelling out the security guard's name and he finally came. But what's crazy about this, what connects it to the dream, is that it was the same feeling I had in the dream and I was calling out to my husband the same amount of times. And so finally, the security guard comes over and he, you know, gets in between us and he said, "You need to leave." Our security guards are armed for the church safety, but he leaves disgruntled and he's like calling me names and stuff on his way out. I still don't have clarity of that last part of the dream. I don't know if the man in the dream that threw the coin at my ankle, if that was the hat man or if it, I don't know who it was, but he just had this evil smile. And that same feeling that I had in the dream just kind of came and met me in the natural. And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, what do I do with this?" And I was shook, but at the same time, I'm like, I've never had that happen where something happens in the dream and then you feel it in the natural. And it just reminded me, you know, I cannot let my guard down. I have to be always like in the spirit. So church is a safe place, but at the same time, it's also a place where anybody can come in. And so we just really have to be on the lookout for all of those things, but also being safe at the same time, knowing where the security is, knowing where you can go for that. But it's just crazy because I've had a lot of experiences in that church and I at first didn't know there's just something wrong with this church because I'm getting all these things. But I really think that as the Lord has taken me through this journey of the supernatural, I see it's because he's showing me things in me. and he's equipping me. And so who knows what has happened prior to my awakening in 2020 at that church that I never really saw or I never understood that were happening in the spirit. But I do feel like the Lord has awakened me and my family for such a time as this. And this is why we're now more sensitive to what's happening. And there is a group of youth that are extremely sensitive to the spirit. They have dreams. They have encounters at the church. And I just felt honored to be able to be in this with them.
Hey, we test the spirits. And if you get that gut feeling like, yo, something is wrong. I've had some dreams that partially came true and have an emotional connection to the real world. And then I've also had dreams, Anita, where it came to pass exactly like what I've seen in my dream. And it's so strange. So that feeling, yeah, that's a roller coaster ride. It's hard to explain because it's like two worlds colliding. You know what? We need to talk more about dreams in the future as well. Kind of like a roundtable discussion on the topic.
Yeah, because that's awesome.
Yeah, there's so much there. I'd like to get just like dreamers. I'd like to get maybe an interpreter if they're legit. Oh, yeah. And then maybe get a doctor. You know, somebody who's well-versed in with dreams and psychology of that sort. And just have a roundtable discussion. I think that would be really helpful for all of us, actually. And I can't thank you enough.
Yeah. Same, likewise.
Coming to you from southeastern Pennsylvania. God bless and goodbye.
Understand, faith is as faith does. The road turned narrow is paved in his blood, and it's flames on the marrows that rain like spray slugs. I pray, yeah, keep me near the cross. Let your ways be my ways when I'm staring the lost, cause I be seeing they fears through the tears of exhaust, and I'm reminded of self when I be hearing them talk. Show them perfect love, cast fear from the heart, like the way for a stray when the season is dark. Jesus Christ is the life, and belief is the start. Any other gospel priest, same to see from the start, yeah. Keep your money and fame, this ain't a game to me. I'ma speak the truth, whether I'm loved or they defaming me. Nothing changed the fact that the Son is who he claimed to be. And I'ma run with that without a worry or a shame in me.